Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
It's been said that prayer is the nerve that moves the muscle of God. Hi, Alex McFarland here. Glad to have you with us on the American Family Radio Network. And I want you to lean in, listen up, because the next hour of this broadcast potentially could change your life, and I am praying that it will. And we're going to be talking about prayer. Prayer is just one of the greatest tools at the Christian's disposal. Prayer can change circumstances. Prayer can rebuild relationships. I believe, and I know the guest you'll meet in just a moment believes, that prayer can change the world. It has, it is, and it will. And you and I have the opportunity to participate in one of the greatest days on the calendar, the National Day of Prayer. Now, 2025, it's coming up May 1st. And how significant is the National Day of Prayer Task Force? Well, I have got a calendar, a day timer. It is absolutely secular. Bought it at an office supply store. I use these day timers all the time. And yet, on May 1st, it says National Day of Prayer. And there's a reason for that significance, and we'll talk about it. But with me is the leader of the National Day of Prayer Task Force, Kathy Brenzel. She's just an incredibly accomplished woman of God. She's been used extensively as a great force in our country, and she is the president of the National Day of Prayer Task Force. And I would surmise the National Day of Prayer is more extensive, more deeply entrenched in our nation, and more significant than you may realize. And so you don't want to miss this upcoming day, May 1st. But to tell us all about this and more is the leader of NDP, Kathy Brenzel. Welcome, my friend.
Hey, Alex. So good to be with you. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, thank you. And I know you're always busy, but here we are only days away from National Day of Prayer 2025. So I'm doubly grateful that you would make time to be with us. And I want to get into that, but I want to hear a little bit of your background and how long have you been with NDP? I know for years I thought of the leadership being under Shirley Dobson. When I worked for James Dobson, Mrs. Dobson was always immersed in National Day of Prayer. But bring us up to speed on your journey and how God brought you to the leadership position you're in.
Well, very briefly, I was the founder and president of a ministry for educators, and you and I had both been friends and worked with Paul Cedar in Mission America, and I was on that education coalition. Got invited onto the National Prayer Committee, which was actually the parent ministry of the National Day of Prayer. Once upon a time, National Day of Prayer was an initiative of the National Prayer Committee. And Ms. Dobson led for 25 years in so many amazing ways. I got to be very close to Vonette Bright, who was the first president, and spent an enormous amount of time with her. And then just as a volunteer, not even a coordinator of National Day of Prayer, but as a coordinator and then a board member with Shirley Dobson. And if she needed some special project administration-wise or some research, she would call on me. And I just loved the staff, loved the coordinators. My husband and I were donors, and God had another plan. And it really, I had no idea. I never aspired to be the president of the National Day of Prayer, but what God desires, right? He'll take us to it and through it. And Amen. So got to serve Ann Graham Lotz while she was our interim for a year. And Ronnie Floyd, I just moved along with him and helped raise some money and was close with our partners. And so then lo and behold, in 2019, after, you know, 20 years with National Day of Prayer, just as a friend and a board member, the board and the Lord called me to be president. So it was a big surprise.
Sure, but I'm grateful. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, the Lord is using you, and you're doing a magnificent job. Before we get too much involved, and we'll circle back to this many times, the website, and folks, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, you have an opportunity to participate in the National Day of Prayer, May 1st. It's coming up, and it really is the hope for our nation. Give the website and where people can learn about NDP gatherings in their area.
Yeah, nationaldayofprayer.org. Really easy. You have to spell it all out, though. nationaldayofprayer.org. You can find resources. We'll find gatherings. We can talk more about that. There's prayer resources year-round. We're not just that one day a year ministry. So many other things. Invite you to subscribe to our weekly article devotionals. And so nationaldayofprayer.org.
Kathy, before we go too far, I want to talk about Bill and Vonette Bright for a moment. They were very, very special folks. I cannot overstate how monumental was all that God did through their lives. And we interviewed Vonette Bright on the American Family Radio Network shortly before her homegoing, interviewed Bill Bright. But they were very special to me, Kathy, because when I was a seminary student 30 years ago, Bill Bright taught my evangelism class, and he came and did a week-long module, an intensive, that's where you do like 30 hours in a week. And his son Brad Bright later told me that that was probably, this would have been in 1990, probably the last time Bill Bright taught a college class. He was so busy with Campus Crusade, but he wrote this amazing book, Witnessing Without Fear, which I urge everybody to read. And I had the privilege, just on a very brief level, but I got to know Bill Bright and Vonette. And talk about them for a moment, because they need to be known by Christians throughout this country. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's just such a reminder that people that we know and adored, we have to tell the next generation about them. We have to keep telling, and you remember and tell, especially the shoulders we get to stand on and those who went before us. And they were so instrumental, you know, along with Reverend Billy Graham and Greg Laurie, many others, but they were so instrumental in the Jesus movement. And with starting Campus Crusade for Christ. And I'd love for people to, you know, to email you and tell you about their Campus Crusade, their crew, now as it's called, experiences on college campuses and in their neighborhoods around the world. But I had the privilege of meeting Bill Bright a couple of times, but spent a lot of time with Vonette. And, you know, so fun in our history. I would describe Vonette as passionate about prayer, loving Jesus with all her heart, and tenacious when she had an idea, when she had a calling, when God made something clear to her, like she did with National Day of Prayer, because, you know, telling the history of NDP, you know, it was established as a law. I'd love to tell you that story, but Vonette like, the law wasn't good enough. She needed to organize, strategize, and mobilize. Like she wanted thousands, as we'll get to experience next week on May 1st, tens of thousands of gatherings to be hosted. But that took organization, and that took an organization, a ministry, and that's how we were birthed.
You know, when the book of James says faith without works is dead, being alone. And yeah, we know the Lord does the work, and it's the power of Jesus. But we have the duty and really the privilege to put some shoe leather into it ourselves, don't we? And when you talk about Vonette's tenacity and others like that, yes, it's all by the Lord's power. But we humanly have to get involved and do our part as well, don't we?
Absolutely. Yeah. So here's how it happened. In 1952, the Reverend Billy Graham stood on the steps of the Capitol, and he challenged Congress and then the president to honor God and honor prayer by putting it into law and calling for a National Day of Prayer here in the United States of America. Congress took it very seriously. In a matter of just a few weeks, we had a unanimous vote. The resolution went to President Truman and he signed it into law. Done. Now, in the first few years, it could have been any old day. It was every year, but it was up to the discretion of the presidency when he called that day. It could be his birthday. It could be 4th of July. It could be in times of trials or triumph. And that's what drove Annette crazy. So Mr. Graham got it started, but he was an evangelist. He wasn't about to run a prayer ministry. And Annette was like, pick me, pick me. And so she started working on getting the day. And so it was amended. The law was amended in 1988 because of her tenacity. And here today, I'm standing on her shoulders with 19,000 coordinators across the United States.
Wow. Okay. 19,000 prayer coordinators. That's got to be an administrative challenge. I mean, a logistical heavy lift. How do you do that, Kathy?
You love them. I love them. And so we are so grateful that we get to. And so our mission statement is we mobilize unified public prayer for America. So we actually have a year-long cadence of mobilizing prayer so that on the National Day of Prayer, it's a celebration and culmination of 364 other days of prayer and all the relationships that they've built in their communities with the leaders of the seven centers of influence and all the churches. And there's this coming together, you know, prayer can be the common unity in a community. And that's what happens on the National Day of Prayer. I think one of the reasons it's on your calendar is because it's a law, and a lot of people don't know that. But I hear people tell me all the time that it is the most unified day on the Christian calendar. And that's beautiful, that it's not just about even coming across the aisle. It's about coming across the street. And churches that have never done anything together, coming together, ministry is launched in communities by various churches coming together, various people coming together who would have never met if they hadn't come to pray together in the park, at the prisons, at the hospital, at somebody else's church, in a parking lot, in a boardroom, in a dorm room, in a classroom. And so we are grateful to get to be used by God as that catalyst in prayer.
Sure, sure. Folks, if you're just tuning in, Alex McFarland here. The voice you're hearing is that of Kathy Branzell. She is the director of the National Day of Prayer Task Force, which, as she said, is a law. It's not just an idea, but this is reality. And the National Day of Prayer this year is just in a few days. It is May 1st, 2025. And Kathy, we've got a break coming up, but if you would give the website, and with 19,000 coordinators and participants, I'm sure people would not have to drive very far to find a prayer gathering in their region of the country, would they?
No, I pray they wouldn't. And if they do, well, then they could start one too. You could have one right there on your front porch. So go to nationaldayofprayer.org, click on the gathering finder, put search by your state. That's the easiest way. And you can see all the gatherings that our coordinators have listed at this time for May 1st.
What do you say is the most effective prayer gathering? What does success look like for you?
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, there's all kinds of successful prayer gatherings. But in the end, it's that God's glorified, that it's not a preach-a-thon, it's not a speech-a-thon. Here's my prayer, that when we ask people to come and pray, they come and pray. That you don't dare get up to the microphone and say, hey, before I pray, let me. It's like, wait, you just put God on hold. You just said, before we talk to God, I want you to listen to me. It's like, no, don't do that. Don't do that.
Don't grandstand.
We have wonderful, wonderful pastors that preach and wonderful teachers that teach all year long. Could we just go into the throne room and talk to God and hear from Him? And so I love it when God is praised, when God is thanked, when there's repentance and confession, when there's intercession, and when we worship Him by singing our prayers.
Sure.
But it's all about God and God glorified.
Indeed. Well, we've got a brief break. Alex McFarland here, Kathy Brenzel of the National Day of Prayer. Stay tuned. We're going to come back for more inspiration and call to intercession. Don't go away.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. One more drama playing out. Is the sky falling? Are we going into recession? Are you going to lose all of your 401k? Are you going to lose your job? Are you going to be able to afford groceries?
People better be training their kids, getting back into church, Sunday school, reading the Bible. That revolution will save this country.
We've had a political revolution. Now we need a spiritual revolution.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Listen on the podcast page at afr.net.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland sitting in for Abe Hamilton. And before we resume our conversation with Kathy Brenzel, I want to thank everybody who they tell me they listen to Exploring the Word. We are live 5 days a week on the American Family Radio Network, and we teach the Bible. And everywhere I go, people come up and they say that they listen to Exploring the Word, and we give God the glory for that. And so we invite you to tune into all the programming on the American Family Radio Network. It's the gospel. It's the Word of God. It's the biblical worldview for all areas of life. And so the website is afr.net, and there's a station map. And, you know, in addition to all of the terrestrial radio stations throughout the USA, we know that people listen around the world. We have people listening online in the Middle East, in Europe. And so we give God the glory, and we encourage people, tell somebody about the American Family Radio Network, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus. Well, let me read a verse, and then we're going to resume our conversation with National Day of Prayer leader Kathy Brenzel. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. And Kathy, I know that verse really is the foundation of this year's theme for the National Day of Prayer, May 1st, 2025. Kathy, if you would, tell us the theme and really the implications of that theme for each of us.
Absolutely. Well, our theme this year is pour out to the God of hope and be filled. So every year since I've been president, I make sure that the theme somehow is a call to prayer. And this year, in a time of prayer and fasting, just going before the Lord saying, Holy Spirit, prompt, what is your theme for this year? I kept noticing over and over again, people, even deep followers of Jesus, talking about feeling hopeless, running on empty. I'm on fumes. I'm just so hopeless right now. Is there any hope for America? Hope, hope, hope. And I'm like, Lord, I'm listening, because last time I checked, Lord, you're still on your throne. And so as long as the God of hope is still moving in our prayers. Alex, you at the beginning of the show, you mentioned Ian Bounds quote, and I've always, or a quote I've always heard, something similar about how our prayers move the hands that move the universe. Mm-hmm. And so as long as we're praying to the God of hope, there's hope. And so he led me to Romans 15:13. And hope is often thought of as something in the distance, something in the far off. I would dare to say that we even have friends who pray, who think, okay, well, I'm going to pray now and God's going to answer later. And we don't realize that God is answering our prayer even as our words are hanging in the air. Now, there might be a preparing time. There might be, a time that we are waiting, but know that the answer is happening in the heavenlies, that people... And so with that word now, may the God of hope. So hope isn't a wish upon a star. It's not, ooh, lucky day for me, I found a penny on the sidewalk. Hope is God. And we're told in Scripture to be ready with the reasons for our hope. And so we wanted this year at National Day of Prayer Task Force to spend the year reminding you of all the reasons of your hope and who your hope is, the God of hope, Right. And we just celebrated Easter. And so perfect timing. Thank you for the National Day of Prayer, talking about abounding in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the same power, the same Spirit that brought Jesus from the grave is the same Spirit and bring about abounding hope in your life in believing. And so what are your reasons for hope? The same ones as mine, because Jesus lived, because he is risen, because he reigns, and because he's returning. Amen. And that's the beautiful artwork that we have for this year's theme is a Revelation 19 moment of Jesus returning. That's our artwork this year. And so our reasons aren't based on what's going on in us right now in the earthly realm. It's not about situations and seasons in our earthly lives. It's about what's going on in the heavenlies as we pray, and the God of hope is causing his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven.
You know, Kathy, if you were in my homiletics class, I would give you an A+, because that was alliterated. He is risen, he reigns, and he is returning. And parenthetically, and I want to talk about this theme, but there may be somebody listening, and maybe you're listening to Kathy and I, and you've got a lot on your shoulders. Maybe you're praying about a family issue or a prodigal child, or you've gotten a diagnosis that has just turned your world upside down. When Kathy mentioned the resurrection, think of it this way, folks, about Jesus Christ being your source and your sufficiency. He conquered the grave. He can meet your need. I mean, Jesus paid the sin debt of humanity, rose from the dead. He has the power to intervene for you. And so, Kathy, I love this that you mentioned E.M. Bounds, Power Through Prayer. That's just a classic. And there's so many great realities that are part of the Christian experience that prayer is not just, you know, God is my vending machine. I want something. Here's, you know, prayer is like putting a coin in a machine. Wouldn't you agree that really prayer is our relationship with Jesus? And maybe we have a crisis and we fall to our knees, we cry out to God. Or maybe we have something we desire or something that deeply concerns us, so we intercede. But the beautiful thing about prayer, yes, God does answer and things happen. But the beautiful thing is it's the avenue by which our relationship with Jesus, it deepens and deepens and deepens, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Just start at the root. It's a relationship. Now, we all have relationships, and I pray you don't have any relationships where the person only communicates you when they want you to do something for them, right? I mean, that would be the vending machine example that you just gave us. But in our relationships, we praise one another, and praise discusses character. It's about who you are, not what you've done for me. And so we praise God for who he is, and he is worthy of our praise. But, you know, you love people because of your relationship with them, not because of what they've done for you. But then there is thanks. And that person who has come to you before and said, will you do this for me? I pray they've come back and said, thank you. And somebody's done you wrong. Somebody hurt you, whether accidentally or on purpose, and they've come back and said, I'm so sorry. Will you please forgive me? Also listening, that's a part of prayer. If you've got a friend that only talks and never listens, or that'll come and ask for advice, for guidance, for direction, they've got to make a decision. Could you please help me? And you start to give some wisdom and they walk off. You're like, oh, okay. Never mind. Right? But that's all a part. Communication is part of relationship. And so think of prayer that way, not praying, in the King James Version language, in some glorious tone with long, big words. I had somebody say to me the other day, I'm afraid to pray because I'm going to pray a stupid prayer. And I'm like, no, there's no stupid prayers. Just talk to Abba Father, talk to him respectfully, but you don't have to put on the King James language.
Well, Kathy, let me ask you this. How do you encourage or, dare I say, coach people to feel comfortable to pray in public. And let me put it this way. I've been in many a pulpit at churches, and I would, you know, maybe in conclusion, I would say, well, let's close in a word of prayer. And maybe if, and I've seen Christian adults looking at me, shaking their head like, don't call on me. Please don't call on me to pray in public. And yet, like you say, you know, God is not expecting, you know, Elizabethan English or some verbose, you know, thing. He just wants the honesty of our heart.
Right.
You know, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Lord Jesus, you're so faithful. I praise you. Amen.
Absolutely.
Yep. How do you encourage people to go out of the comfort zone and actually pray from their heart in public?
Well, we do a lot of coaching. That's the number one request we get year round. Teach me how to pray. Like the, there's people who, and don't feel guilty about this. There's people who are like, I've never gotten past God is great. God is good. And we thank him for our food. Amen. It's like, oh, good. Sure. That's a great start. Now, how is God great? Dear Lord, I just want to tell you, you're great. And name a couple of ways that he's great. Name a couple of ways he's good, and you thank him for your food, but could you name two or three things each day else that you're thankful for? That's a really, really good start for if you've got family, if you've got kids, and you play the high-low game. Everybody play that game? What was the high point of your day? What was the low point of your day? That's a great way to learn how to pray, because you stop and you go, oh, wow, that was a great part of your day. Let's stop and thank God for that right now. And then what was the low part of your day? Ooh, gosh, that sounds like a really hard situation. Why don't we pray to God about that right now to give us some wisdom? Or how do we fix that? Or how do you go back and apologize to that friend or whatever? And so there's this way, this discussion that prayer is caught more than taught by practicing prayer. And it's so funny you said that at the beginning. I've told pastors, if you ever need nursery workers, all you have to do is go up before your service, about 5 minutes before your service, and announce that you're going to randomly call on people from the audience to come up and pray for just 30 seconds at the microphone throughout the church service, and people will flock to the two-year-old rooms. They'd rather spend 90 minutes with two-year-olds than get up and pray out loud for 30 seconds. So don't feel ashamed about that, but just put prayer into practice. And the articles that we send out on Thursdays, they always end in prayer. And so reading other people's prayers and seeing how they pray in all those different forms, but just pray what's on your heart as you would have a conversation as if you were walking with a friend.
You know, to a degree, prayer, I'll say it this way, it's a discipline, isn't it? I've heard preachers talk about doing the work of prayer, and I don't use the word work as it's laborious or burdensome. It's not. But really, to have a fervent and a powerful prayer life, it is a discipline we may cultivate, isn't it?
Right. I'd say put it into practice. You know, this year, my co-host for the National Day of Prayer is Tim Tebow. And he's an amazing, brilliant man of God. So many people don't realize how smart he is. They may know how passionately he loves Jesus, but they don't know the work he does around the world. And I think about him in his football career, especially being a Georgia Bulldog, and he was a Florida Gator and a good one at that, right? But I guarantee you, Tim practiced more than he played. And so it becomes a part of our life, not a, oh, I need to check this off my day, but it needs to just be a spiritually significant and treasured and protected part of your calendar. So I've had a lot of people say, I do not have time in my day to pray for 15 minutes. Well, you do if you'd get up 15 minutes earlier. Like the God of the universe will be up. And so you can.
Amen.
And I did that for years with little kids because, you know, the only time I was going to have to myself all day was at 4:45 in the morning. But it set my day and it set the pace and the practice of and the priority of prayer throughout my day when it was a seek ye first moment of my day.
You know, I love that the God of the universe is open, you know, 24/7. Now, yeah. On the website for National Day of Prayer, and it's spelled just like it sounds, nationaldayofprayer.org, there are some categories here about praying for families, government, education, business, military, church, media. Elaborate on that, would you? Specifically praying for these various areas.
Right, and you can see our route right there to Bill Bright and those seven centers of influence. And of course, we pray now for technology and we pray for healthcare. You know, we can tuck those into business and education and media as well. But it's our opportunity to cover every sphere of influence, every thing that touches us, we can touch in prayer. Even if you've never met the president, you can pray for the president, but I beg you to pray for your pastor as often as you pray for our president. But we remember that we're praying for people, not places. And so when we go into businesses, when we go shopping, when we go to the gym, wherever, when we go to school, when we go to work, we can be praying and we take the Spirit of God with us everywhere we go. God doesn't wait in the car while we go into school, right? And so with those centers of influence, it gives us a chance. And again, you asked about growing our prayer life. How do we do that? When we challenged our children, there's seven spheres of influence that we follow. Yeah. And so 7 days a week, and each day we picked, as a different focus. And so we would say, who do you know at the church you want to pray for on the church day? Who do you know in arts, entertainment, and media? And it was more than just being a fan of a sports figure or a pop singer or a Christian, you know, whatever, a influencer. It was a chance to pray into their life, a teacher at school, to pray into their marriages, their families, any diagnosis or concerns we knew about in their families. It made prayer personal and taught that intercession isn't just, Lord, bless our food.
Kathy, forgive me, we've got a break. We got to pull away. Alex McFarland, Kathy Brenzel, National Day of Prayer. Stay tuned. More after this.
Is our theology of money upside down? Our vision is that all Christians would see God as their ultimate treasure. You know, it's a game changer of an idea. And we start with this idea that God owns everything. And we are his household managers of what he has entrusted to us. So we own nothing, but we have stewardship responsibilities.
Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central or on the AFR app.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Hope you're having a wonderful day in the Lord. And we often say this, Jesus is as close by as a prayer. And that's really true. Hey, we're going to resume our conversation with Kathy Brenzel in just a moment from the National Day of Prayer. I want to remind everybody about the wonderful things. I give God the glory for all the things going on in our corner of the world. My own personal website is alexmcfarland.com. And I would ask all of you to please pray. We have a lot going on this summer. Just had a citywide evangelistic crusade in Alabama, and we've got several other things this year. I'll be at the Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center, July 18 through 20, teaching the book of Job. Then I'll be back July 28 through August 1st with J. Warner Wallace doing a week on apologetics. And the website is thecove.org. We always have people from 50 states and internationally. And if you've never been to the Cove, the Billy Graham Conference Center, it's just amazing. It's in Western North Carolina. And I would love to see you there. And it's just really, I don't say this lightly, you will feel the presence of God there. But may I ask you also to please pray for our speaker series. Our ministry is doing a conference series through the end of this year called Conversations That Matter. And we're bringing in a lot of great speakers like Dr. Gary Chapman, who wrote The Five Love Languages, and Charlie Kirk. But May 4th, just days after the National Day of Prayer, we've got Dinesh D'Souza. And Dinesh has been a close friend of mine for 18 years. He's a brilliant Christian thinker. And so there is still time to come to America's number one beach destination, Myrtle Beach, and go to my website, if you would, alexmcfarland.com/conversations. And we'd love for you to be there with us May 4th to hear Dinesh D'Souza and be inspired to stand for God and country. Of course, we have 7 summer youth camps, and we'll keep you informed on those. We'll have about 1,200 teenagers in Biblical Worldview Camp all summer long, and please keep that in prayer. But right now, I really want, in the final segment here, to really challenge all of you. Go to the website, if you would, nationaldayofprayer.org. And there, one of the tabs, find a local gathering. The National Day of Prayer Toolbox, it's awesome. There are digital promotional tools, resources. You can donate as well. And my goodness, what a worthy thing to be a participant in calling our nation to prayer. Kathy, lest time slip away, I just want to say thank you. I've known you a lot of years. You have a work ethic like nobody else I know. You're always on the go, on point for God and country. And it's going to be a great year, I know. The Lord is blessing your work. But I want to say thanks for your commitment, which is just exemplary.
Thank you. Wow. Well, that is a treasured eulogy right there, friend. You know, so many times that we do that all the time. We here in America, over here in the West, we goof it up because we wait till people are dead to say nice things to them and about them in a eulogy. But, you know, that's what the Jewish people do every Friday night on Shabbat. You know, a husband sings Proverbs 30 over his wife, and he says, here's what I see God doing in your life, and here's where I see him leading you, and here's how I bless you. And so, Alex, thank you for blessing me. You and I have been friends a long time, and I'm very grateful for you, all the work you're doing, and in growing my prayer life. See, just as you were just talking about everything that you have going on in the speaker series and the camps, you know, I'm jotting it down in my prayer journal. You mm-hmm. gave me prayer prompts to pray for my brother Alex, and I appreciate that. And then one more thing, talking about the Cove. I mean, we love the Cove, and you're speaking on Job. Wow. Right. But what I'm going to, this is like prayer light. If you were taking a prayer series with me, this would be like the 400 class, the 400 level class. What does God have Job do at the end of Job? He has to pray for those rotten friends, right?
That's
those
true.
People that came and they accused him, and they, you know, were no comforters at all. And so what does Job have to do? God says, I'll forgive you if Job forgives you and prays for you. And so one of the things that is part of our National Day of Prayer coordinator oath, here's the line. Every year they take this oath that they will pray for their enemies as fervently as they pray for their family.
Amen.
So there's a 400 level stretch you that if there's anyone who really should be coming to you and asking for forgiveness, or anyone who's caused you great angst or hurt, if you're walking around with woundedness, if there's somebody you totally disagree with on any subject matter, even politics, but anything like that, that has caused a separation in the oneness that God calls us to, I'm going to beg you to pray for them.
Amen.
And let God grow you in that way.
Kathy, that is so vital. And so we're going to get really pastoral with you now, folks. And let's talk about this because, Kathy, the Lord's allowed me to travel all over the world, but I really do care about America. And I would say if there's anything that has really hindered the full work of the Holy Spirit in many a church, it's been friction and static between brothers in Christ and sisters. And so the devil loves that. You know, when Christians are crossways against each other, I'm talking born-again Christians, the devil loves it. And You mentioned Job. It said the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And so you've thrown down a great challenge. And folks, let me just say, and we've all been there, family, life. I mean, look, it's a messy world. Invariably, even the best of people have some things to get resolved sometimes. When you pray for that person that you feel like has wronged you, or you pray for your enemy, God will bless that. He really will. Because, Kathy, isn't that loving like Jesus? The Bible says that we were enemies of God. And yet, mm-hmm. not only did Jesus intercede, he intervened and went to the cross. That's the Jesus kind of love, isn't it?
Exactly. And forgiveness doesn't make what they did right. It makes you right. Right? Because there's three things that I keep in mind in that take every thought captive moment. And it's like, okay, what's about to come out of your mouth? Because it's going to reveal what's in your heart, Kathy. So hang on to it for a second. And I ask myself these questions. So God, Jesus said, love one another as I've loved you. Give mercy as your Father in heaven has given mercy. And forgive as you've been forgiven. And I stop myself and I say, am I loving as Christ loves me? Am I forgiving as Christ forgave me? Because boy, that's a lot. And am I being merciful as my God in heaven has been merciful to me? And if the answer is no,
Wow.
Rethink it, repray it, and then decide what comes out of there. But that's really a great way. And you know, the wisdom of God is first peaceable, Scripture says.
Yes.
So is what's coming out of my mouth. I always stop and think, what do I want to accomplish by what I'm about to say? What will I really accomplish by what I'm about to say? And is it going to be peaceful? Is it going to be glorifying? Or is it just going to make matters worse? And so I stop and pray before I say.
Pray before I say. You know, that would be good advice for all of us. And the National Day of Prayer, for those just tuning in, Alex McFarland here. We're talking with Kathy Brenzel. She is the leader of the National Day of Prayer Task Force. And May 1st is coming up. Now, Kathy, is it like sun up to sundown? Is it 24 hours? How much of that day, May 1st, will be devoted to activities of NDP?
Right. All day long, way before the sun comes up in America and way after the sun goes down in Hawaii. And so we do invite you. There will be prayer gatherings in your state, in your community, breakfasts. We have things in the morning, lunches in the afternoon. Stop by on your way home from work. I know churches are keeping their doors open all day long for prayer. So pray in your communities, gather in your communities to pray, and then join us at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to nationaldayofprayer.org. And you can see all the places that our broadcast is being aired. We're so grateful for all of our partners. And you can watch it even right there on our website. It'll go live at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. And you can join us for our broadcast that will be televised in every country around the world. So please pray for us, because we're handing out hope, we're mobilizing prayer, and we're sharing the gospel in every country in the world. And so our hope is that people who have never, ever, ever prayed, who don't even believe in God, will hear something, will stumble upon a prayer gathering, will come across the broadcast. Even those who maybe have pulled away and been distant, and they may pray, Lord, I've never spoken to you before. I don't even know if you're real, or I haven't talked to you in a long time. But Lord, if you are the God of hope, show me that you're real. I want to know you and have you as my Lord. And so if you'll pray for us, that is the goal of the day, of course.
You know, my heart is just moved to think of this. I mean, this is going to be one of the biggest gospel outreaches, one of the most extensive witnesses to the human race, like ever, isn't it?
Yes, I'm so grateful. So grateful. We just get to. Yeah. So please be in prayer for us.
You know, James 4 verse 2 says, you have not because you ask not. And listen, folks, on National Day of Prayer, this outreach, this broadcast is going to be all over the world, like everywhere. Let's pray for God to move and save souls in all these parts of the world. Kathy, I think about places like North Korea or China or North Africa and so many places where, you know, really to go public with your faith in Jesus could be a death sentence. We really need to intercede for these places and the precious multitudes of people there, don't we?
Absolutely. And the people leading those places and the people, you know, who are opposed to God in those places, again, praying for those enemies. If God turns Saul to Paul, right?
Yeah.
And
amen.
That same God that turned Saul to Paul can turn those oppressive leaders, those who say, you know, no Christians in my country, I'll kill you. He can turn them into Paul's. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Kathy, let me share something with you. I'd love your insights on this. About a decade ago, I interviewed 32 of the world's most famous atheists, and it was going to be one book. It became two books. And my publisher asked me to write a book responding to atheism. And so I went to the local bookstore and I got all these names. Now, a couple of these guys I knew because we had debated, but I spent about just over 2.5 years, I had these face-to-face conversations with 32 atheists, people like Christopher Hitchens and Richard Dawkins and Michael Shermer and the published atheist. And it was interesting because I really felt like they trusted me, and I said, look, I'm going to show you what I write before it's published because I don't want to mischaracterize you. But I would ask these atheists, you know, there's no God, right? No such thing as God. Christianity is false. I said, do you ever pray? And it was interesting that virtually all of the atheists, the professed atheists, said, well, of course, it's just human. Yeah, I've prayed. Isn't that amazing? And one atheist said, I said, what do you pray?
Talks to a person they don't believe in. That's awesome. Yeah. I've never heard that. That's great.
This one guy, he said to me, he said, you know, I was almost in a car wreck, a semi-truck, and I cried out, oh, God, help me. And I said, so do you believe in God? He said, no. I said, but you weren't in the wreck.
Talking to you, right.
I said, God answered the prayer. You cried out. But I guess my point is, prayer is a universal human endeavor, is it not?
Absolutely, it is. I mean, it's amazing to me the number of people who don't believe in God, but will say to us, will you pray for it? Will you pray for me?
Well, what sure.
You know, okay. But I'm going to pray for you to believe, you know, first and foremost. But with that also, I'd be interested to know, and I want all of you to think about this, because every fruit has a root. Everything that we do, every way that we think and we behave, there's something that we experienced, whether we saw it or we experienced it ourselves, that caused, you know, this highway, this pathway for us in believing. It's why we need to be so protective of what our children are hearing in their younger years in school, because it's setting that path.
We're almost out of time. Kathy Brenzel, thank you for your time. This has been the Hamilton Corner. You can listen again at afr.net, but please participate in the National Day of Prayer.